Support for WPR comes from Doulaying the Doula, offering birth and postpartum training and certification programs for medical professionals and other interested humans. More information about training is at doulaworkshop.com.
Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu.
From you during this segment, has the economy changed your retirement plans? Did you postpone retirement, or did you keep working even though you'd technically retired, I put that in quotes, from your previous job? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send us an email, talk@wpr.org.
Matt Sadensky joins us now. He is a reporter for the Associated Press and a fellow at NORC. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the poll shows that half of older working Americans are planning to delay retirement. What do you make of that finding?
Well, it's not entirely surprising. We knew that there was an upward trend in how long people were working. We knew that the recession probably had an impact, but it finally kind of quantifies how widespread it is, the idea that people are having to delay their earlier plans.
And why do you think they're making these decisions? What did you find?
Well, finances obviously are, you know, a number one factor in when people retire. But health is also a huge issue, and the need for employee health benefits that are provided for them by their job before they're eligible for Medicare, also a huge factor in when someone retires.
So is this a matter of people going back into the workforce or keeping on working for a year or two? Or do you think these are people who are, you know, going to work until, you know, they're quite old, maybe into their 80s?
We're just seeing an overall blurring of the lines between what we've regarded as work life and retirement. There used to be these crisper differences between the two. And when you retired, you were retired and you moved down to Florida or went to wherever you went to and you stopped working. But our survey finds that more than 80% of people 50 and older who are working say they're at least somewhat likely to work for pay even after they retire. So it's going to be a mix of people who are either scaling back hours at the job that they're currently in or finding a new career, going to part-time work, a mix of different approaches to that.
How do people feel about doing it? Do you have a sense whether people are okay with it and like the idea of being productive on into later life, or are they wishing that, yeah, they were kicking back in a beach chair in Florida?
Well, I think it's probably a mix as diverse as the population of older people that we have in the country. But, you know, there is some resentment among some people who've had losses to their savings over the last few years, who've seen their home values decline, who maybe suffered a layoff and ate through some of their savings while they were looking for a new job. In follow-up interviews after the poll was completed, I did talk to people who had their plans thwarted, who thought they'd be retired at 63 or 65 or what have you, and will be putting it off and, you know, were a bit chagrined by that. But then there's other folks and a significant number of folks who say they're very happy in their jobs, that they want to keep working, they want to stay active. And I think that that's been sort of a stereotype of the boomers, that they are workaholics and they're going to want to stay at their desk till they die. But there is some truth to it that there is an incredible amount of love for work among that generation.
Well, I want to take a phone call now. And by the way, you can call in, too. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-642-1234. And we're wondering if you've postponed your retirement and why you've postponed it and how you feel about it at the moment. And we'll go to our first caller now. Charlie joins us from Milwaukee. Hey, Charlie.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Love your show. I was just going to say that I'm in my mid-40s, and already we have changed our saving strategies. We've increased the amount of money that we plan to put into retirement each year because we don't see the survivability of either Social Security or the Medicaid system as being as generous as we expected to make it in our retirement. So even the generation that's not yet retired, you know, where I'm 10, 15 years away from it, I'm still planning a lot more than what I had ever thought, because I see so many problems with the increased entitlement spending for everybody, and the country just having so many problems.
So you're pessimistic about Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security, but how do you feel about that? Do you resent it, or do you feel like that's just the way it is?
I say that again. I'm sorry.
Do you feel like it's just the way it is, or do you wish that you could retire at an earlier age?
I wish I wasn't putting as much as I currently do into my retirement, thinking that those programs would be solvent. I just don't think the government is functioning very well. Therefore, I'm going to be looking for, I'm expecting to need a lot more in my retirement.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Charlie. Appreciate that. And Matt, what do you think about that? Is that typical of what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think, you know, a number of the folks that I've talked to after the polling was complete, they find that even if they had amassed a lot in savings, there was a teacher I talked to down in Louisiana. She had over $100,000 in her savings account, which sounds like a lot. And she found it went really quick, and she found herself back in the classroom teaching again. So only 29% of the people that we talked to said they had that amount of savings, over $100,000. You can only imagine what it's like for people who are less privileged. One out of six of the people that we talked to had less than $1,000 in retirement savings. And if you're thinking about using that money over 20 years, 30 years, even longer, however long your retirement is, it's not going to go very far.
And Matt, in the last 20 seconds or so, are we just changing the way that we think about old age now?
Yeah, people are living longer. People are healthier at older ages. So there's kind of a reshaping of these final years of life.
All right. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
That was Matt Sedensky, reporter for the Associated Press and a fellow at NORC.
And we'll still take your calls on this topic at 800-642-1234. We want to hear from you. Have you delayed your retirement because of financial reasons? Do you keep working even though you're technically retired from your job, your career? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Well, now producer Amanda Magnus joins us here in the studio for our fall membership drive. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear a great, worthwhile conversation like this when you tune in. Now's the time for you to put a value on that. Your gift is vital to WPR. It's a big part of what keeps us going. Support this program, everything else you hear on WPR, by making a gift. Any amount, you get to pick. Here's how you do it. You go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 13 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,300. This extremely generous match is from Tim and Nancy Coburn of Eau Claire and Jerry and Ruth Apps from Madison. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Get your pledge doubled right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wow, that is fantastic. What a great reason to make a pledge. Maybe make your first ever pledge to WPR. How about that? Whatever you pledge, $5 a month, they're going to double it up to 10 a month. That is a great deal, a great reason to pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Now think about it. How many times have you been listening to the Ideas Network and heard something that just stopped you in your tracks, something that was really interesting? We try every day to give you programs that open your eyes, engage your brain, make you think, make you laugh maybe, programs that affect your life. This kind of radio can only happen with your financial support. Make your pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Giving is just as easy as we can possibly make it. We just need your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Save a little time and money. Use a credit card if you can, or check this out. Start automatic, sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how to give. You choose how much to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've probably heard the phrase, think big. It's an expression you can really put into practice by listening to and then giving to Wisconsin Public Radio. When you listen, you get the best music, talk, and news, and it encourages you to think big.
When you donate to keep all that great music, talk, and news available to you and to your community, your gift of any amount is added to the gifts of others, thousands of other people, to make big things happen on Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So I've been living in Wisconsin for roughly the last 20 years. I came here for school. I think I became a member when I was in my mid-20s. Whenever I could, I would try to send $20 or something and whatever I could manage at that time. I've always imagined that it would be fun to be a philanthropist. And if I thought something was really a wonderful cause that I could give them $1 million, just, you know, open my checkbook. There are not nearly as many zeros involved, but in a small way, I'm a small scale philanthropist. It definitely feels like money that's going to a good cause. When I became a sustainer, it felt like there was an additional connection. To me, it's a no-brainer. When I became a sustainer, it just made things that much better. Sort of like the way it felt when I got married a couple years ago. I loved him a lot, but when I married him, it felt even that much better. My name is Lisa, and I live in Monona, Wisconsin. I really enjoy being a sustainer, and I encourage you to do the same.
All right, Lisa, thank you so much. Now, how about you? You can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Amanda Magnus asking for your support of WPR during the fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $5 a month or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from Tim and Nancy Coburn of Eau Claire and Jerry and Ruth Apps from Madison. So your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200. You get the picture. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Get your pledge matched dollar-for-dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And hey, something just popped up there. Our first time pledger of the hour just made their pledge. Thank you for taking that first step. And very smart, because you got your pledge doubled when you made it this hour thanks to that match. Love to see people taking that first step of maybe making a pledge of $5 a month to Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, maybe you think you don't have to support WPR because someone else is. You've been listening for years without making a pledge. Well, there's the proof, right? No. Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for years because remarkable people have made that decision to support something that's important to them.
Now it's time for you to make that decision. Your donation is important. It does make a difference. Many first-time donors give $5 a month. You choose what works best for you. Make your pledge of support. It's time now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Terry and Tim from Madison say, we just moved back to our native Wisconsin from Texas, and we like being back to WPR. Thank you very much for your pledge, Terry and Tim. Now it's your turn. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
And we're picking up our conversation now with Matt Sedensky, reporter for the Associated Press and a fellow at NORC, talking about a new poll that finds that people are expecting to work longer into the age where they might have retired before, now because of financial insecurity and the economic downturn. It's working for a few more years at least.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story? Or were you able to retire when you were planning all along? Either way, give a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk at WPR.org.
And let's go to the phones right now. We have Margaret joining us from Janesville. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I have several things that both my husband and I will be caused for us to work longer. And one of them is that he was one of the people that lost his job a couple of years ago. And at age 63, it was difficult to get back into the job market, but he managed to do it. And so that worked out well eventually. But I'm a teacher, and he's in business, and I'm a teacher, and we lost a large chunk of our income when Act 10 was passed, around $6,000 a year, which cut into our savings that we could put away. Our house lost value, so the home that we were hoping to sell and then maybe be able to use some of that money to rebuy our retirement home has been lost. We lost money like everybody else did in the markets with our IRAs, our mutual funds, whatever, all of that stuff went down. And we will definitely be looking towards working after we do the official, quote, retire. But the other thing that I would like to just note is that a lot of people in the general public, I think because they're hearing politicians say this, refer to Social Security as an entitlement, which is, and it's usually said in a kind of a, almost a derogatory way, as if an entitlement is something that people don't deserve, but they're being given by the government. And when we know that Social Security doesn't affect the deficit, it is paid for through payroll tax. So that one kind of irks me, I guess, when I hear people referring to Social Security needs to be fixed because we can't afford it in this country. Well, yes, we can, and it's one of the few government programs that works really, really well. So
Okay. Anyway,
those are my comments, and I know that we will have to keep on working.
All right. Margaret, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate that. And what about the situation that Margaret and her husband find themselves in? Do you think that this is typical of sort of the things that have happened? Maybe sometimes it's one domino after the next, and you add them all up together, and it means you can't retire when you thought.
Yeah, I think we saw that in our poll data, particularly what Margaret talked about with her husband losing his job at, I believe she said, 63. One thing we noted among our respondents was how difficult it is when you're over 50 to find work, particularly in this post-recession economy. 55% of the people that had searched for a job in the past 5 years characterized their search as difficult. 43% said that they felt that employers were concerned about their age. So we see that reflected in her comments and in our conversations with lots of people in this demographic. The other thing that the caller, Margaret, touched upon was Social Security, and she kind of echoes what we found in our polling is, you know, just very strong support for the program among older adults and a pretty high level of opposition to proposals that would raise the eligibility age or change the way that cost of living raises are calculated. And that's all reflected in the opinions that we gathered.
Do you think that that's a large part of what you're finding, is that this insecurity, not sure which way the winds are shifting on Social Security right now?
Yeah, I think in our follow-up interviews, I heard that a lot, people worrying that it, especially younger seniors, people who are in their 50s, who aren't quite yet there within a couple years' reach of collecting Social Security, they worry about changes being made to the program, that their checks might not be what they had been anticipating all along. So there's certainly a lot of concern about that out there.
Any sense of how recent college grads might feel about this? A lot of older people in the workforce who might have, you know, cleared up maybe some slots for younger people, but now is there kind of a logjam effect?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a common misconception that if older people stay in the workforce, that they're taking away jobs from younger people. But a number of economists have looked at this issue and came to the conclusion that, in fact, it was good for the economy for people to work later in life. And maybe there are isolated incidents where you look at, say, you know, a professor holding on to his job and a doctoral student graduating who can't get a job in that department. There may be isolated incidents of that, but overall, it doesn't have a detrimental impact on younger workers.
You know, we had this sort of set idea of what retirement was, and that meant, you know, retiring around 65. Sometimes it meant moving to Florida, and that was it. You didn't really stay in the job market, but we're seeing these societal changes kind of across the board. Should the economy right itself again, do you think that will go back to Plan A, or is this something that people are just going to be used to now, working later and longer?
You know, it's hard to tell, but there has been this slow shift towards working later. Ever since the 1990s, we've seen the workforce participation of older people increasing year over year. You know, we're talking about now for going on 15 years. And it's important to note that, put in a historical context, this isn't strange. I mean, in the early 1900s, people were working into their 70s, and it wasn't until the advent of Social Security that we saw that retirement age going down and down and down over so many decades until it finally stalled and started creeping back up in the 1990s.
How do you think that overall, you know, people feel about working later? I've heard both sides of it, some in your poll and some of our listeners here, who either seem to think that this is something they're doing out of necessity and they're just kind of bearing up and doing it, or, you know, it seems as though some people think that they're contributing longer and they're staying active longer. Maybe they're even starting a second career after their first one ends, and that's okay with them. What do you think?
Well, we asked people about worker satisfaction, job satisfaction, and over 90% expressed satisfaction with their jobs, which is just a staggering amount of happiness with their positions. I think if we had asked, would you rather, you know, not work or collect a paycheck and not have to show up 9 to 5 every day, I'm sure, you know, most people would say, yeah, I'd rather retire and not have to work at all. But there's definitely a huge amount of interest in staying active and an increasing amount of interest in staying active in our older years, and a desire to, you know, maybe volunteer, maybe work part-time, maybe consult, maybe make a career change and have what people are calling an encore career, where maybe an attorney becomes an artist or a teacher is able to do something entirely different and start a business.
Well, I guess it's a movement that remains to be seen as far as the closing chapter. We'll be watching it.
Absolutely.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Matt Sadensky, reporter for the Associated Press and a fellow at NORC.
A quick reminder, we're in the midst of our fall pledge drive. We have a matching grant going on, doubling your pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Coming up, put on your best blankets, engage your upper story. We're going to talk about vintage slang and see if it can make a comeback. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.
I'm Veronica Rickert with Amanda Magnus, Central Time producer, and you're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. And this fall membership drive is the time for you to take action in support of the programs you count on and to step up and become a WPR contributor. You can make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And now is a great time to do it. Amanda's going to tell you why.
That's because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,300 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because for every dollar you give, Tim and Nancy Coburn of Eau Claire and Jerry and Ruth Apps from Madison will donate an extra dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Double the difference of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, doubling a lot of things in life might not be great, like your size of your French fries or your soda, but doubling your pledge is a great thing. And this is a really smart time to pledge because you do get that double bang for your buck. And think about the stuff that's coming up still to come on this day's episode of Central Time. We have Grant Barrett, NPR's word guy. He's going to talk to us about some cool slang that he thinks should be back in style. We're also going to be talking to Valerie Plame, the former CIA operative, about her new career. She's got a novel out about CIA operatives. So it's a lot of fantastic stuff to look forward to and a fantastic time to make your pledge, because Central Time is your go-to place for informative and interesting afternoon discussions.
Your financial support is a big part of what makes these afternoon discussions possible. Listener support is the single biggest piece of our funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Make a contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you can, share your passion for WPR by making a pledge of $100 a month. And remember, right now it becomes $200 a month, just pointing that out. We rely on member support. That's your support to make great radio. So your gift of $100 a month or $1,200 for the year is really helpful. And of course, every pledge counts. No matter the amount, it's appreciated and it makes you a member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What does public radio mean? Well, it doesn't mean government-funded radio, and it doesn't mean free radio. Public radio means listener-supported radio.
Listener support is the single largest source of WPR's operating budget, more than business contributions, more than federal tax dollars, and more than state tax dollars. So it really does matter. Any amount counts to us at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we still have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. It's from Tim and Nancy Coburn of Eau Claire and Jerry and Ruth Apps from Madison. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. You see what I'm saying here. Take advantage of this match to make your pledge go even further in paying for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Alec Baldwin. I'm here to remind you to think for a moment about how much you get from public radio. The events of the day discussed and analyzed by the most knowledgeable people, and compelling stories like the ones you hear on This American Life. You depend on programs like these, which is why
Radio Éxitos.
You really ought to pick up the phone and contribute now.
Tenemos aquí todos los éxitos.
Because until you do, we've reassigned Ira Glass to a Spanish pop station.
Todo el día.
You do like hearing This American Life, don't you?
Sígalo.
Well, then you need to ask yourself, what will it take to make you pledge? What do we have to do? How far do we have to go? Here's how you can end the shenanigans now.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to get Ira Glass back where he belongs on This American Life and to make your pledge of support during this fall membership drive. I'm Veronica Rickard. I'm here with Amanda Magnus asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you in advance for your gift of $10 or $15 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And don't forget, there's a little more than $2,000 left of that dollar-for-dollar match left on the table, and we don't want to leave any of it there by the time this hour is over.
Make your pledge even easier for yourself and become a sustainer. Choose a monthly amount that's right for you, say $5 or $10 a month, and have it charged from your bank account or credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. So become a sustainer now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are many ways to say, make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. We can say, stand up and be counted, or make your voice heard, or support what you love. You do all of those things, and you really do make a difference when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you haven't heard, our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, still looking for about $2,000 that we can go up to match that. So if you make a pledge for $10 a month, it becomes $20. $20 becomes $40. You can do the math on up the food chain there. But the important thing is to take advantage of that and those members' generosity in giving us that match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the service of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Another cool thing we have going on, we have a new WPR travel mug, and you can get one for your pledge of $15 a month or more. It's handy, and it's a nice reminder of how much you enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio, made by Clean Canteen. Get your new travel mug at WPR.org or 888 202-2552.
When you make your pledge, become a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year, and you'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments that you don't have to think about anymore. It's easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact on Wisconsin Public Radio. You choose how to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your pledge goes twice as far just for the next 15 minutes or so. So donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Thanks a lot, Amanda. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, former CIA agent Valerie Plame joins us to talk about her career and her new novel.
First, we've got a hep cat who thinks language is the cat's pajamas, and he's here to share some vintage American slang that could maybe make a comeback.
Grant Barrett joins us now. He's a lexicographer and co-host of Away With Words. You can hear him Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. Grant, welcome back to the show.
Hey there. How you doing?
Pretty good. Well, Rob and I have been having a lot of fun today dropping some of this mid-20th century slang, and we're wondering where you came up with this stuff.
Well, one of the things I like to do to keep up with language is actually see how much it's changed. So there is a brilliant article that I found from a St. Louis newspaper from 1901, and it's an article called A Dictionary of Everyday 20th Century Slang, and it's a giant broadsheet page of slang, a lot of it having to do with the seedier side of life, boxing and horse races and gambling and drinking and that sort of thing.
The sort of places that slang kind of congregates. Well, we're going to go around picking some of our favorites from your list of 100-year-old slang, and we want to make a case that some of this should come back. And I think we've all done some research and picked some of our favorites. Grant, can you start us off with one from your list that you would like to see come back?
Yeah, I love the term cabbage for a bad cigar. Have you ever been in a public place where you smelled the nastiest cigar ever and it did not smell like tobacco burning? I think a cabbage cigar is exactly the right term. Apparently that was a term that they used.
And I imagine at a horse racing facility, that's where you might smell some serious cabbage going on.
Yeah, the nickel cigars that aren't worth the nickel.
I really like cut some ice because it sounds kind of saucy. Well, that horse can really cut some ice.
Yeah, it's got kind of a, it almost sounds like things that we have today, like other idioms that we've got that mean to be good, to be successful, to be the right on the job, to be doing the right thing. Yeah, it's a good one. I don't know why cut some ice, though, and perhaps that was a particular profession that required skill. I don't really know.
Yeah, some serious, yeah, you'd want ice for your ice box. Somebody's got to cut it. I don't
know. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, here was mine. It's not my favorite on the list, but I think it would have the best prospects for a comeback. NG for no good.
I knew you would zero in on that. One of you would pick that. I knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it turns out that about 100 years ago, NG for no good was just about as popular as okay. And so you would find it in the notations on a letter, perhaps, or, you know, imagine holding your racing form and your horse doesn't finish, right, doesn't place, and you put an NG next to it. So next time you remember not to bet on that horse or that jockey, NG for no good. And even better, it fits into our Twitter world and into our text messaging lifestyle.
Yeah, the OMGs and the TMIs and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, youthful people listening today, I'll include our producers there, NG, no good. Use it.
And it's close to NP, which I've seen, no problem.
No problem.
So if you've got NG and NP, you've got...
And JK, we're just kidding.
JK. We really don't need vowels anymore, do we?
We need them. We need them. But we've always had... We're humans. We've always made shorthands for things. That's the human trait. You can look at cuneiform tablets and find that they would decide not to fully spell out the word sheep, and they would just put a couple characters to indicate sheep. So abbreviations have been with us for a very long time.
The takeaway is that humans are lazy, apparently.
No. We're efficient.
We're efficient.
Hyper-efficient. Okay. Sometimes we over-optimize to the point that there's no more clarity left. But yeah, we're looking for efficiency.
All right. Hit us with another one of your favorites that you think might come back, Grant.
Well, you know, this is kind of like the cutting the ice. Somebody who's your hot cup of tea. Somebody who fills all the requirements. Maybe a job candidate is a hot cup of tea, or maybe a paramour or a lover is the hot cup of tea.
Just what the doctor ordered. Rob is filling his tea right now.
Yeah, that's a little subliminal thing there. I just filled my hot cup of tea.
My tea is tepid. Is there a corollary for tepid cup of tea?
I've got one on my hand. I've got one myself right here. Yeah. There's another one on here, and this one probably will be familiar to our older listeners, and this is the term glad rags to refer to your best clothes, your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. They are your glad rags. And the reason I like this one is I think it's recently enough kind of fallen out of use that it could be resuscitated with very little effort.
That's one of the few that I had heard before, was glad rags on this 100-year-old slang list. So,
but I bet it was from like your grandmother or an old auntie or something.
Probably
like
so, yeah.
And speaking of old aunties, one that I thought was sort of funny, the word blanket gets a lot of play on this list. I mean,
we'll
I have some new blankets, and then you're really straining the blanket. I really can't see anyone saying that and not being laughed out of the house by their friends.
Yeah, well, I have to admit I put a few on the list here just because they're pretty far out. But yeah, a blanket is a new suit of clothes. Check out my new pair of blankets. Okay, maybe. And then the other blanket. What was the other blanket here?
Strain the blanket or stretch the blanket.
Yeah, so you're stretching the you're straining the blanket. I don't know what that means. I'm imagining somebody leaping from a burning building, and they don't have the the fireman's trampoline. They've just got a blanket. It's just too much for it. I don't know. I don't really know.
Here's one. Oh. Go ahead, Grant.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
All right, here's one that Veronica couldn't get behind. Kidneys as a thing for, like, grit or courage. Like, we might use guts or one unmentionable anatomical part.
I feel like there's another anatomical part that he's people are more likely to say.
He's not the strongest guy out there, but he's got some serious kidneys.
Yeah, I like it. I think this comes from boxing because a favorite thing to do, particularly if you're a mean fighter, is to punch somebody in the kidneys.
Mm.
So if you've got kidneys that can take it, you must have a lot of courage to keep standing there and taking it rather than just going to the mat and just calling it done.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might be too evocative. I don't know.
I'm right there until kidneys.
One other one on the list that I put on here because, again, it's relatively recently enough that it's fallen out of use that I could be resuscitated, and this is Fizz, P-H-I-Z, Fizz. And this is for your face. It's short for physiognomy, and it just refers to your mug. Or another one on the list, your dial. And you can probably get why your face is called the dial, right?
Like the face of a clock.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty straightforward. Face, mug, fizz, dial.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. You can get a, like, get out of my fizz person.
Yeah,
you
back
know,
off from my dial.
Like the Cats and Jammer Kids cartoons. It's the kind of language that our comics, that's the kind of language that would show up there all the time.
Well, here's a good one for pledge drive, Grant. There are a zillion for money. What are some of the money slangs you came up with?
You know, you could write a book, and it has been done. I don't remember his name, but the book has been done on money slang. Oh, which one are you looking at here? You're looking at Cush?
Cush was one, yeah.
Yeah, C-U-S-H, but there's a whole bunch. Lucre, the necessary, dust as in gold dust. Doreen, also I think coming from a word meaning golden. Dough, stuff, lengthy green, pile, and yellow. Now, I could have made a whole separate list, which would be a list of slang that actually has lasted 100 years. And that kind of list is the kind of thing when I talk in high schools, I love to share with them. And their school-age minds are blown to find out that people 100 years ago also called money dough. It's just kind of big news to them because it seems contemporary and modern, doesn't it?
Huh.
It does. But where does the yellow come from?
Yeah.
The which one?
The
yellow.
One to refer to money is yellow.
Maybe gold?
I think that's also gold, yeah.
Gold. Oh, that's how old it is, right.
So if you imagine a golden coin, which they don't make anymore.
I've never seen.
It doesn't come up much these days.
No Cougarans getting your paycheck, huh?
Not normally. Maybe Rob's.
There's a whole bunch on the list, and I didn't share this with you, but like, for example, Eat Crow has got a long, long history. It's just a meaning to eat your own words, more or less. Or bug means somebody who's a little off kilter, maybe even crazy or loony. To say somebody has a bum wing, they still use that in baseball. It means they've got a hurt arm or injured elbow.
Huh.
There's a ton of these that are just still with us today.
I kind of like on a skate to me, drunk.
Oh, yeah, because you can see the on a skate, you can see the drunk person weaving down the street like they just have a skate on one foot and they're trying to keep their balance, right?
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. And the weirdest one on the list, and I put this on here just kind of a puzzle to the two of you, is nibs. And it's because it's used weird. And so I might talk to you and how's nibs this fine morning, meaning you are nibs. It's just kind of like Mac or buddy or pal, just this term you use for somebody kind of in a false way to speak highly of them or to speak as if they're some kind of quasi-royalty. And nibs, what would you like for dinner? Or his nibs or your nibs or your royal nibs.
That's excellent. I like nibs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're going to be Nibs from now on.
Oh, great. Thanks. That'll be great. Here's one I don't believe was really slang. I think somebody got their leg pulled here. Biscuit shooter as restaurant slang for a waiter or a waitress. Usually not a second-rate one, according to this. Do you think people really use that?
You have really good instincts. At least they're allied with mine, which must mean they're very good. When I see lists of diner slang, and this stuff crosses my email all the time, and it shows up in books and people write articles about it, almost all of the diner slang exists only in those lists, and there's no evidence that it was ever used.
Uh-huh.
Much of it we believe to have been manufactured simply for the entertainment of customers or for the entertainment of lexicographers who are out there gathering language. But it's really hard to prove. But biscuit shooter was just too fun to leave off.
Yeah.
Can you imagine there's a place in Sykeston, Missouri, where they have throwed rolls. These are literally rolls that they will throw you across the room. So that's what I was thinking of when I included biscuit shooter. There are places in the country where they would throw your bread at you.
I'm okay with that. I like biscuits.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah, me too. A little gravy, a little white gravy.
Can't go too wrong.
Don't throw the gravy, though.
All right. Well, Grant, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, sure. Good luck. Thanks for calling.
That was Grant Barrett from Away With Words. And you can hear the show Sunday mornings at 9 here on the Ideas Network.
You can pick up the mission. Spread the slang we've been using. And you can tell us about how you use it at the Central Time Facebook page. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Valerie Plame about her career in the CIA and her new career as a spy novelist.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, I'm Veronica Rickert over here with Rob the Nibs Ferret, and this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Membership Drive. You count on WPR's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you, and WPR counts on you to keep these discussions on the air and going strong. You can make a gift of any amount right now to help pay for the programs that you depend on. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Great news. We hit that dollar-for-dollar match. We didn't leave any money on the table, thanks to the 38 of you who pledged this hour. Thank you so much. Now we're looking for at least 7 more pledges by the end of the hour to hit our goal. You can make that pledge at WPR.org. Donate some kush. That was one of the 100-year-old pieces of slang for money. Donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just today alone, you've been enjoying great conversations with Grant Barrett from Away With Words, who got caught up on some ancient slang that hopefully we can work into our everyday repertoire. We've been talking about the retirement age kind of easing backward as people decide to work longer out of necessity and for other reasons sometimes. And coming up, we'll be talking with Valerie Plame about her new spy novel. Just a sampling of what you hear on Central Time and Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're pretty sure that the programs you hear on WPR make a difference in your life. Because if you're listening right now, it's a good bet you listen every day or pretty near every day. During our fall membership drive, we're asking you to make a difference to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Your gift of whatever amount you choose, maybe $5 a month, it makes a difference in what you hear and look forward to every day on the radio. And that's because we rely on listener support for the single largest piece of our budget. So make that difference right now by giving to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Alyssa Block with NPR News. We've thought long and hard about how to support the work we do here in public radio, and it's really quite a challenge. Our stations need support, our network needs support, but we really don't like to interrupt our programs to ask you. We like to keep the flow of information coming. Well, recently, we've come up with a new way to pay for public radio, and our solution is found in two words, the sustainer. The sustainer is a person who pays for public radio automatically each month. And as more people become sustainers, the need for on-air fundraising days like this goes down. More programming, less fundraising. It's a win-win proposition. So I ask you, please become a sustainer today. And thanks.
You can make your donation in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickert here with you with Rob Ferret, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month or anything above, below, in between, whatever it is, we appreciate your gift and we count on it.
We are knocking on the door of our goal this hour. Just 7 more pledges to get us there. You could be the one. Maybe making your first ever pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, maybe you're out there driving right now and saying, hey, Rob, I want a pledge, but obviously I don't want to call from the road. I can't go on the computer. That's not safe. That's okay. Say out loud now, when I get where I'm going, I'm going to make that pledge. You can do it when you get there at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hopefully there's lots of people talking to themselves in their cars right now as we get toward those last 7 pledges that we need to hit our goal this hour. You can be one. You can be the one who moves that number and helps us reach our goal and makes a difference to Wisconsin Public Radio, makes a difference to the station that they rely on and depend on. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, we've got a brand new travel mug deal here. When you pledge $15 a month or more, ask for that as your thank you gift. It seems very sturdy. I've got a mock-up of it here. You'll get one. Yours won't have the masking tape taping on the logo. It'll have the real logo on it, and that's going to be pretty styly. You can get it with your pledge. Support great public radio. Pledge $15 a month or more. Ask for your Wisconsin Public Radio travel mug at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You can join Doug at Middleton, who says, as a regular listener, I decided it was time to switch from being an annual donor to being a sustainer. And that is a trend that a lot of people are trying out and a lot of people are liking because it takes a lot of the paperwork, the follow-up that you have to do. Everybody's life is busy. This makes things simpler for you and for us. You believe in Wisconsin Public Radio. You support it. So consider becoming a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just 7 more pledges to go to hit our goal this hour. I think we can do it. I've only got 15 seconds to talk now. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really just takes about 3 minutes of your time. Either way, it'll count toward hitting that goal. Make that pledge now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.